White, St. Helena, California, June 13, 1911. Elder J. E. White, Nashville, Tennessee. My dear son, Edson. On Sabbath, June 10th, we went up to the school where I had promised to speak. Brother James drove us in the double-covered wagon. In the early morning, I found myself so weak that for a time I feared that I must give up my plan to speak to the students. But as the morning advanced, I felt stronger, and by 9 o'clock was ready to attempt the journey. The chapel was filled with students and teachers and church members who live in the neighborhood of the school. When I first stood up to speak, I felt my great weakness, but the Lord strengthened me to speak. I spoke from the first few verses of the 14th chapter of John, and the message of Christ to his disciples. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Verses 1-3. A few weeks before, I had spoken to the students on the lessons of the 15th chapter of John. These two chapters, the 14th and 15th of John, have been impressed frequently upon my mind lately. I addressed the students earnestly, urging upon them the instruction of the Word, and bidding them keep in mind the higher school, to which, if faithful, they will soon be transferred. It is always wise to impress the minds of the youth with a determination to meet the highest standard. I have a deep interest in this school, and greatly desire that it shall work out the Lord's plans for the education of our youth. I desire that these students shall do their best, and not lay any stumbling block in their own path or in the path of others, but that individually they shall strive to be Christians, seeking by diligent study and earnest prayer to gain the training essential for acceptable service in the cause of God. I long to see the youth helping one another to a higher Christian experience. We are preparing for the grand review of that day when every case shall be forever decided. In view of this solemn event, not only the youth, but all who are striving for eternal life, need to put every power of heart and mind into the work of learning Christ's way. We have severe conflicts to meet and important victories to gain. I greatly desire that you, my son, shall not fail nor be discouraged. I have not time to write to you all that I would like to say at this time, but again, I would caution you against making plans that embrace too much. If you attempt to follow out your present devisings, you will surely take up a work in which you will sadly fail. If you follow on in the way you have planned, you will fail, decidedly fail. You accept some material for publication that is not worthy of the effort that you bestow upon its circulation. I ask you to seek the Lord for guidance in your work. Do not listen to suggestions that may be made to you that would lead you away from wholehearted service for Christ. My son, if you will not listen to counsel now, in eternity, when it is too late to make wrongs right, you will discover the mistakes you have made. In the light that God has given me, you have been given instruction regarding your duty. Never should you yoke up with men who are drawing away from God. It pains me to the heart to consider what will be the result if you are led to link up with those who will eventually glory in your downfall. My son, I do not want you to expose your weakness as you have done, but I want you to place yourself in the channel of light. When you are genuinely converted, you will not draw away from your brethren as you have done. Unless you are daily converted from the ideas that you now hold, you will stand on losing ground. I am instructed to say to you, make an entire change. Humble your heart before the Lord. Keep heart and mind pure and clean and free from worldly entanglements. Every power of the sanctified life will be brought into the service of God. At a certain battle, when one of the regiments of the attacking force was being beaten back by the enemy. The ensign in front stood his ground as the troops retreated. The captain shouted to him to bring back the colors, but the reply of the ensign was, "Bring the men up to the colors." This is the spirit we are to manifest. It devolves upon every faithful standard bearer to bring the men up to the colors. The Lord calls for wholeheartedness. Many professing Christians lack the courage and the energy to bring themselves and those connected with them up to the true standard. Will not the standard bearers, as brave, true men, bring the men up to the colors, remembering that Christ, the captain of our salvation, is on the field?
From all countries, the Macedonian call is sounding, "Come over and help us. God has opened fields before us." If human instrumentalities will cooperate with divine agencies, many souls will be won to the truth. The Spirit of the Lord will be graciously manifested. This message has been coming to God's people for the last 40 years. Heavenly beings have been waiting to cooperate with men. Some have heard the message and have responded. Let every sanctified heart now respond by seeking to proclaim the life-giving message. Men have stood with their forbiddings to hinder the progress of the work. But if men and women in humility and faithfulness will take up their God-appointed work, divine power will be revealed in the conversion of souls to the truth. Wonderful will be the results of their efforts. A world is waiting to hear the last message of warning to be given to man. And while the servants of God are aroused to give the light of truth, all nationalities are represented as pressing into service as instruments of divine choosing. I leave with you the words of the Apostle Peter to those of like precious faith. "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you," he says, "through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside all this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance." 2 Peter 1, verse 2 to 13.